Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Research, Commodities, ESG and Emerging Markets, EMEA. It's Friday, 4th November 2022. And in this week's podcast, Essan highlights the key considerations to watch out for at COP27. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, perhaps the most important event in this year's climate calendar is upon us, with the 27th Conference of Parties, that is COP27, set to take place between the 6th and the 18th of November in Egypt. What can markets expect from the deliberations?
Thank you, Una. So yes, indeed, a huge period for the climate and broader energy transition calendar, with COP27 about to commence and much is at stake. And the conference, big picture, will be a critical gauge for us about the mood music in terms of the events after 2022. And the hosts are looking for balanced progress. Now, Una, we're not expecting many major decisions. Corporates and investors for us will be watching for signals of a recalibration through an inclusive approach in accelerating the energy transition, as well as safeguarding energy security. Now, while COP26 was all about ambition, for us, COP27 will be much more focused on implementing the COP26 targets ahead of a global stocktake in 2023, when countries are expected to revisit their commitments. Now, in the meantime, much more progress is being made at the national level instead of the global level. For instance, the EU's Fit for 55 strategy and the US Inflation Reduction Act. Now, ultimately, we believe that recent events have shown that a comprehensive and harmonized strategy that is practical, pro-growth, as well as pro-climate is needed, that values the complexity of today's existing carbon-intensive energy and industrial systems, whilst also recognizing the sheer velocity of the transition required, which demands greater alignment and collaboration on everything from capital allocation to product design, public policy, as well as behavioral changes on the demand side of the equation.
And drilling down into the details, Essan, what are the key considerations that you are watching?
So, you know, let me perhaps break it down into several areas of consideration. So first is whether countries will strengthen climate targets and policies. Now, there is a gap between ambition and current policies, with the current plans estimated to set the world on a path to a 2.5 degree increase by the end of the century, with a 10% chance that the temperature rise will in fact be above 3.2 degrees. Now, what this tells us is that not only are the climate policies set forth by governments insufficient to meet the targets, but the climate targets themselves are not timely or comprehensive enough according to the broad pulse of global markets. Now, whether governments can strengthen the national determined contributions, that is the NDCs, and announce the actual rollout of policy and investment plans to combat climate change will therefore be a key focal point at COP27. Now, second on finances, will climate mitigation and adaptation finally come through is a key question. Now, that is, developed markets have been falling short of the $100 billion pledge per year of financing, which was due to be achieved in 2020. Now, what's more, COP26 failed to establish a funding mechanism so that financial flows remain, in fact, voluntary. Now, how developed markets choose to move forward on this issue will influence whether the $100 billion target is met in 2023. One reasonable hope is that developed markets can agree on at least a mechanism or individual targets for specific countries. And failing to do so, once again, for us, will delay climate adaptation processes to a substantial extent. And a formal recognition is even more important now, Una, that higher energy prices, rising interest rates, and increasing building costs are making the financial business case of clean technologies more complex, most notably in developing countries where the cost increases are often more severe. Now, third and important area will be what, if any, will be announced on the phase down of the coal pledge back in COP26, especially in times of the energy crisis, which is leading to a recalibration through an inclusive approach in accelerating the energy transition and safeguarding energy security. So the context here is that as one of the major achievements of COP26, almost 200 countries pledged for the first time ever to phase down the use of unabated coal and inefficient subsidies on fossil fuels. In parallel, however, coal consumption was already making a strong comeback due to economic recoveries from COVID because of the energy crisis-induced price advantage of coal versus natural gas. And so, Una, this could make the conversation on reducing fossil fuel consumption more difficult, as governments committed to phasing down coal could use the energy crisis as an argument to be more lenient on their own targets. And it is also important to see if large emitters which have not committed yet to the pledge, such as, say, China, India, and US, will join the group of committed countries.
Thank you very much for sharing that insight, Ehsan. Have a great week, and we will speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.